Well, you might remember that last week I brought you the story of Naaman and Elisha, and how Naaman was healed of his leprosy. And I told you that this week was going to be part two of the message, and that's what I intend on bringing you today. So let me pray, and then I'm going to call to your attention the text that I'm going to be reading from, and give you the story and finish out part two of the two-part message that I had brought to you, that part one that I brought to you last week, and finish it off today. But let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to gather together to worship you, to honor you, to bless your name. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the wonderful word that you have given us to live by. We thank you for this gathering and the gathering of the Chinese church across the street, and they also get together to worship you, Father. We thank you and we honor you, and we pray that you would bless us now as we look into your word. And we pray for those that were not able to be with us today because of sickness or other commitments. We just pray that they would take some time today to honor you and worship you in the privacy of their own homes or wherever they find themselves at, Father. We thank you now in advance for the blessing you're going to bring us today. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, you might remember last week I mentioned, as I said a moment ago, the story of Gehazi. Now, how many of you were here last week? How many of you were not? Okay, how many of you were here last week? Raise your hand if you were here. Okay, most of you were here, so most of you will know what it was that I brought last week. But just because there are some that weren't here last week, let me just recap. And it was found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 16 was the message that I brought last week. Today, I'm going to be in verses 19 through verse 27. Okay, but let me recap real quick what it was last week. Naaman was a high-ranking officer in the army of the king of Aram, and he had leprosy. And so his wife had a young lady from Israel that was a servant of the home. And so the young girl said to Naaman's wife that she knew that Israel had a prophet that could heal Naaman of his leprosy. So the wife told Naaman about this. Naaman goes to the king to seek permission to go to Israel to be cured of the leprosy. The king gives him a letter and sends him on his way to go and get healed in Israel. Before he left the town of Aram to go to Israel, he prepared some goodie bags. He got some gold and silver and clothing together to give to as a gift to this prophet that was going to heal him of his leprosy. So he goes to Israel. He meets up with this prophet, and he didn't meet him face to face. When he got close to the prophet's house, the prophet sent someone from his house to talk to Naaman and to tell Naaman what he needed to do to get healed. He says to him, "Go dip 7 times in the River Jordan." Well, that made Naaman get upset. He was not too happy with that for several reasons. One, he didn't like the fact that Elisha, the prophet, did not come and meet him. That was number one. Second, he was not too happy that he had to dip himself 7 times into a river that was not as clean as some of the rivers in his own town. So that did not go well with him either. So I want you to pay close attention to what happens next, because this is going to play into what I'm going to bring to you today. Naaman has a fellow companion with him. Now, understand the context here. Neither Naaman nor those with him are really godly people. They don't have a relationship with the God of Israel. It would be considered a non-believer. So this non-believer who was with Naaman comes up to Naaman and he says, "But master, let me just say this. If the prophet had told you to do something big, would you have done it?" Which caused Naaman to think, you know, maybe I should do what he told me to do. So in other words, Naaman has a friend who comes by and starts to encourage him to do what is right. Naaman goes into the river. He dips 7 times. He comes out. All his leprosy is gone. He is a clean man physically. His health is back. The skin as a baby, it says in the scriptures. Now, he gets healed. He goes back to the prophet Elijah, and he wants to shower him with gifts. But Elisha does not want to take it. And the illustration I gave you last week was that basically he wanted to pay him. It's like pulling out your wallet and saying, "Look, you got to take these $500 that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you $500, a check for $500 for doing what you did." And a person say, No. I did that for the glory of God, not for self-interest. That's where the story ended last week. Elisha did not take anything as compensation for the miracle that he performed, as it were, on Naaman. He didn't take any money, he didn't take any goods, nothing. He did this for the glory of God. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to break it down and give you some points that I want you to take with you. Because in life, you're going to find yourself in situations like this, and if you can remember these as you get mature and grow older and you go through life, the Spirit of the living God can bring these things back into your mind and heart. Now, follow with me as I read now from verses 19 through the end of the chapter. "Go in peace," Elijah said to Naaman and his group. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get some things from him." So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from his chariot to meet him. "Is everything all right?" he asked. "Everything is all right," Gehazi answered. "My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of the prophets, have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothes." "By all means, take 2 talents," said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents of silver and 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in his house. He sent the men away, and they left. Then he went in and stood before his master Elijah. "Where have you been, Gehazi?" Elijah asked. "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi answered. But Elijah said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the men got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes, olive oil, vineyards, flocks, herbs, or men servants? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elijah's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. Interesting development. Let me recap what I just read in story form so that the picture in your mind can stay with you. When Naaman went to Elijah and wanted to pay him back for what he had done, wanted to compensate him, Gehazi was nearby. listening and watching everything. Now Elijah says to Naaman, go in peace, God bless you, I don't need anything, you don't have to pay me. This was all for the glory of God. So Naaman leaves with his men. Gehazi says to himself, I can't believe it. He was offered these goodies and he didn't take them. Remember the illustration that I gave you last week with the Coke? Remember? I took one of these Cokes. This would be the equivalent of me saying, you know what? Here, I want to give you this Coke. Say no to me. Keep saying no. I want to give you this.
No.
Okay. No, go ahead. Take it. I want you to. Go ahead. Take it.
I don't want it.
You don't want it? Okay. And me going away and this young man hanging here going to him and saying, are you crazy? That's a 20-year Coke. Why didn't you take it? What are you, dumb? Not that you would say that. But what are you, crazy? Why didn't you take it? He was giving it to you for free. That's exactly what Gehazi's thinking. What are you, crazy? He was giving you these free silver and gold and clothes, and you're not going to take it? You know what? If you're not going to take it, I'm going to take it. That's what we have here. We see an element of selfishness, right? This young man is saying, man, if I were you, I would have taken it. In fact, I'm going to go after Pastor Ed and tell him to give it to me. That's exactly what we have here. So, let me put this coat back. Nice and cold. Okay. Now, this does not look good for Gehazi. Now, I want to give you five little, I call them vignettes or nuggets or whatever, but you can call them five things to make it easier for you. But five, in reality, they're five elements for you to contemplate and think about. Whenever you're in a situation such as the one that we find ourselves in this particular story. First of all, what I find here is that Gehazi saw the miracle as a service rather than to God. In other words, he saw the miracle of the leprosy being gone from Naaman, he saw it as a servant to God, to man, a service to man, rather than a blessing to God. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, by that I mean, as Gehazi's watching all this, and Naaman comes back and he offers Elijah some goodies, he's thinking that Elijah should have taken the goodies, the silver, the gold, and the clothes, because Elijah did a service to a man. And because he performed a service, we should pay for that service. Okay? It's like in retail today. We pay for service and goods. We either go to the store and buy a good, meaning anything that you buy, and you get in return for your money, that's considered a good. If you go and buy a sweater, you're getting goods for your money. Or you can go somewhere to H&R Block, get your taxes filled out, and you're going to pay them for the service that they did. So when we put out money in our world today, we're paying for goods or services. And sometimes both. But pretty much that's what's going. But that's because we're looking at it from man to man, person to person. That's the way Gehazi's looking at this. Elijah, a man, takes away, as it were, the leprosy of Naaman. So as a return, you should compensate him by taking the goods. He saw it as a service to man and not as a blessing to God. Because whenever we do something for God, we shouldn't expect that someone pays us back for that blessing that we did. I mean, if I pray over you, for whatever, over anyone here, I don't expect you to pay me for praying for you. I give that to the glory of God. I thank God for the opportunity of praying for you. I'm not going to say, well, I'll pray for you if you give me $5. That's not how it works. Pastors, why do you think pastors get paid? Because they have to support their family. They are providing, as it were, a blessing to the Lord, but also service to His people. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, Let me give you some things here that I want you to remember. First of all, Gehazi saw this as a service to another man rather than a blessing to God. Secondly, he saw himself as wiser than Elijah. He thought he had more brains than his master Elijah did. In other words, he's looking at this and he's saying, wow. And the Bible goes on to say, let me tell you exactly what he says. Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman. So he's thinking, wait a minute, I have more sense than my own master here. I have more sense than he does. Because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, he should have taken that. So he sees himself as smarter and wiser than Elijah. Nothing could be further from the truth on that. He was not. Third, we also find Gehazi was a weak man. He was weak. You know how we know that he was weak? Listen to what the Bible says. He goes to Naaman, and this is what he says to Naaman. My master sent me to say. Why could he? Why, he was weak in the sense that he did not have the courage nor the strength to go to Naaman and say, listen, even though my master did not want to accept your goods, I'll take them. Give them to me and I'll take them. No. What does he do? He tells Naaman that his master sent him. So he's weak in that he's not willing to step up to the plate and say, no, I came of my own accord. Fourth, we find Gehazi lied. Did he lie? My master sent me to say. That's not true. So, let's go back to the Coke illustration. I offered this 2-liter Coke to this young man, and because he has a proper perspective on what happened, he did a service to the Lord. He did something for the blessing of God, even though he was a servant to man, but he doesn't want to be compensated. So I offered him a 2-liter Coke. He doesn't want to take it. So the young man sitting next to him thinks that he's crazy. He sees himself as wiser than he is. He's too weak to admit that he wants it. But yet he lies and he tries to say, well, you know that young man that you offered the Coke to? He didn't want it, but he sent me to tell you to go ahead and send it because there are others that are in need of it. Do you follow what I'm saying here? So he lies. And sometimes we do that, don't we? Christians, forget about the non-Christians for a minute, because I want to talk in the context of God's people. Are there times when God's people lie in order to get something for themselves? It happens sometimes. It should not happen, but it does. And it happens because they're selfish. They're weak. You follow that? You understand that? They ought to say, you know, I'm not going to lie. This doesn't belong to me. I'm not going to go after that. Now, the fifth point that I want to bring out here is this. Gehazi paid the price. What happened to Gehazi? If you can remember what I read. Yes, Ellen. He got leprosy. Can you imagine that? Just think about that. Just picture that for a moment. Word pictures are wonderful because they tend to stay with you for a long, long time. Just think about, here's Naaman from head to toe filled with leprosy. Leprosy. He's a leper. Boils, sores everywhere. He goes, dips himself 7 times, comes back clean. The scripture said that his skin was that of a baby. That's how clean and smooth it was. Then Gehazi Notice this, and he's witnessing the exchange between Gehazi and Elijah, I mean, between Naaman and Elijah, and Gehazi's thinking, no, this isn't right. And he's a clean man, he's got no illness, no leprosy or nothing. And he does what he does. He lies. He's weak. He sees this as a service. He's just not with it. He just doesn't understand the concept of doing things for the glory of God and staying true to his beliefs. So he deceives and lies and cheats and steals, as it were. And he says, my master sent me, and listen, two young men came to him, and now they're in need of stuff, so why don't you send some stuff with me for these two young men? And Naaman says, oh, sure, of course, absolutely, here, take this, take that, here, take it back. Then Elisha, the man of God, says to Gehazi, where have you been? Gehazi says, well, I really haven't been anywhere. Lying to his master again. You haven't been anywhere. Elijah said, wasn't my spirit with you when the man got off of his chariot to meet you? He saw everything, even though he wasn't there. He met you and he gave you this, and you took this stuff. And he says, oh, Gehazi, you're wretched. You're a mean person. You know the leprosy that Naaman had is now going to be bestowed upon you and your descendants. That's paying the price for doing something wrong. Not only did he do one thing wrong, he did various things wrong. My encouragement to you is this. You might remember last week I told you, I used the illustration that if you went out there, that if I gave you the keys to my car and I said, listen, there's a bag in the front seat of my car, please bring it to me because they have something that I want to use in my teaching. And you took my keys, you went to the car, you brought the bag, and I was so appreciative that you went to my car to get that, that I offered you $5 in return. I question how many of you would actually take the $5. Because $5 looks big. Or maybe I say, here, here's $20. And I just say, here's $20. And I never ask anybody to raise a hand, but just to give you a sense of thinking here, that I say, here's $20. I wonder how many of you would take it, because you look at the $20 and say, oh man, $20, I can buy a lot of stuff with $20. But little do we know and realize that $20 can only last so long. Then it's gone. We spend it. But if you chose not to accept that because you want to give God the glory for what you've done, and you do it as unto a service to God rather than man, the gift that God will give you, the reward that he will give you, he will compensate you far greater than I can with $20. Do you follow that? And here, Elijah says, why should I take gold and silver and clothes from you when it won't be long before that's not available anymore, or it'll be gone, when I'd rather be compensated from God himself, whose gift will last an eternity? You follow that? So here's my encouragement to you. The next time you're asked to do something for someone, and you're able to do it, do it. Do it for the glory of God, and don't expect to be compensated. If someone is saying, here, I want to give you $5 for what you did, think long and hard whether it's worth taking the $5. You understand? Or whatever. And don't lie to get compensated. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't exaggerate. Don't fabricate stories such as the one that Gehazi did. Two men came to my mouth. That was a lie. That didn't happen. But he had to come up with something to get something. So if we do that, you can rest assured of this. We will pay a price. And sometimes it's a price that we're not willing to pay. In this case, he got leprosy. Not a good thing to have in those days. You see that? So So, be honest, and I wrote it here. First of all, two things, and I'm putting the two messages together. I'm putting last week's message and this week's message together. There are two things I'd like you to think about, and I'd like you to do. One, be kind. When someone is asking you for help, be kind and help, if you're able. Secondly, be honest. Don't lie, don't cheat. Be honest. Okay? Because if you're kind to people, God's going to be kind to you tenfold. If you're honest and you don't deceive, be deceitful, and if you don't lie, you don't cheat, you know, you stay honest to yourself and to God, you will be the better person for that as well. Okay? You agree with that? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this story that you've given us, and the story of Elijah, Naaman, and Gehazi. These three characters in this story that you allowed us to have in the Bible. And you've given us this story for a reason, so that we can apply it to our lives today. If we have the opportunity to do a service, to do a service to someone, let us do it. Let us be kind. Let us be gentle. Let us help in whatever way we can. And let us be honest. Let us not pursue material things such as Gehazi did. He had no need to go after the gold and silver and the clothes. And why? He was selfish. Father God, I pray that the messages that I brought here the past 2 weeks, last week and this one, would resonate in the hearts and minds of these young people here, that before we know it, they will be adults out there going to grad school, secondary level school education, college. They'll be in a few years down the road, they'll perhaps be gifted by you to be married and have their own families. I pray that these messages will stay with them, and that they will remember what the Bible has to say about selfishness and lying and deceiving and being kind and being honest. Father, I thank you and praise you for those that have listened, that they would apply this through their lives and to their hearts and minds, soul and their thinking, everything, Lord. And I pray that if there's someone without Jesus Christ today as their Savior, that they would accept you, that they would call upon your name to be their Lord and Savior, that they would cry out to Jesus, and that they would thank the Father for sending Christ to die on the cross for their sins. Christ who died and bled and shed his blood and gave his body and was buried and rose again on the third day to give us a newness of life. Father, I pray that they would cry out to you for salvation, that you would hear their prayers, and that your Son Jesus Christ would forgive them of their sins and come into their lives and live, as Paul said, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ liveth in me." He said that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I pray to God that someone who has not accepted Christ would do that, and that they would give you the glory and honor, and that they would share that with someone. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.